From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 11th day of August, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. Tomorrow morning is Crop Report Day. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at willag.org. That's willag.org, and we'll send the numbers to you this afternoon during the program. We'll talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He'll give us a quick update and review of what might be happening tomorrow morning. And then later in the program, we'll hear from Mike McElroy. He's with Archer Financial Services to update us on the agricultural energy market. And we'll close out the program when we talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby September wheat at 485 1/4, down 9 cents. December at 512 1/2, 7 1/2 lower, and the March at 531 3/4, down 7 1/2. September corn futures at $3.26 1/2, 2 1/4 higher. December at 331, up 1/2. The March at 344 1/2, up 1/2. And the May futures at 353 1/2, 1/4 higher. July corn at 361 1/2, up 1/4. From the soy complex, nearby August soybeans at $12.16 1/2, up 46 cents. September, $10.97 1/2, up 30. November beans at $10.38 1/2, up 28 1/2. And the January futures at $10.42, 27 3/4 higher. March contract, $10.39, up 27 1/4. And the May futures at $10.27, up 26 1/2 cents. August soybean meal today, $3.83.20, up $16. September futures at $3.43.70, up $9.50. August soybean oil, $38.02, up $1.53. September futures, $38.16, $1.54 higher. From the Mercantile Exchange livestock side, live cattle futures, August contract, $83.30, a settlement price 2 1/2 cents higher, but the October futures ended 65 cents lower at $87.67 1/2. August feeders, $100.10, up, or rather down, 32 1/2, and September futures followed suit, 32 1/2 lower at $99.97 1/2. Lean hog futures, August contract, $48.17 1/2, 12 1/2 lower, the October at $44.35. down 65. You are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media in Urbana-Champaign. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, September contract, $69.45. That's down $1.15. Ethanol at $1.53 1/2, just about unchanged on the day. The RBOB gasoline at $2.03 6/10, 0.9 cents higher. Natural gas at $3.55 6/10, down 8 1/2 cents. And the heating oil, that's diesel fuel, $1.90 7/10 today, just about $0.09 lower. Propane futures at $89 9/10, 0.3 cents higher, and the gold contract at $945.80. That's up 80 cents. The Dow now at 92.70 is down just about 67 points. The U.S. dollar at 79.17 is down 0.07, and the CRB index today at 262.48 is down 2.10 on the afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, just a quick note before we start to talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana this afternoon. Don't forget that on Thursday morning of this week, you're invited to come to Agronomy Day on the South Farms right here in Urbana-Champaign. Agronomy Day kicks off at 7 a.m. We send rack wagons into the field every, well, few minutes there. There are about 4 or 5 tours. They each take just about an hour. That's this Thursday at 7 a.m. in the morning.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
On a Tuesday afternoon, time to check the agricultural futures markets. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana is with us. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, we ready to go for tomorrow morning, and what are we going to find when we get that crop production report out?
Well, that's the big question we've all been waiting for the answer from, Todd. It's going to be very interesting to see how much, if any, the corn acreage has dropped, and how much, if any, the bean acreage is raised. I think we've all got ideas in our mind of where the production per acre might come on in, but it's going to be a lot on what they do with the acreage, Todd. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the old crop bean demand, along with the already heavy-laden front buying by China of the beans, kept the bean market alive today, just figuring that there's still a lot of weather to get through for what the demand we have.
You think that'll follow through tonight and into the morning hours as the trade continues as we head towards that 7:30 Central Time release time?
In general, we don't see a lot of the follow-through in the night trade. I think most of your major traders have got even or got the position they want for now. But I think in the light overnight trade, we could see some exaggerated moves just because of the lighter trade and people not wanting to be in there. The ones that are even don't want to go back in tonight, that's for sure.
And what's your advice at this point for farmers other than to wait and see what that's going to come out with tomorrow morning?
Well, you know, basically along the way in most areas, it does give you $10 cash beans off the combine here the way we are tonight. If you don't have any sold, that's not an all bad place to start. And along with the corn, we're down in low production levels here, cost production levels. So I'd definitely wait for the report and see about that.
Wayne, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Hey, Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Tuesday morning. You can always hear him again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's WILLAG.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason, inviting you to campus this Thursday morning for Agronomy Day. It kicks off at 7 a.m. in the morning. Your opportunity to meet and talk with and discuss all kinds of agricultural issues with the researchers and scientists here on the U of I campus. More importantly, your chance to go out into the research fields and see what they've been up to. Starting at 7 o'clock, I'll be emceeing or hosting Agronomy Day and really talking about what's been happening out in the fields just a bit as we put you on the rack wagons and send you out into the fields for hour-long tours of what's been happening there all this spring and summer. Agronomy Day starts at 7 a.m. right here on campus this Thursday morning and runs through about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There are several hour-long tours. You'll want to arrive early so you can get on several of those tours. Big tent, great meal. There's no cost except for that meal, but it's minimal. If you want to eat there, that's great. If not, don't worry about it. Come on in to Agronomy Day on the South Farms Thursday morning of this week. Now, up next, you know USDA yesterday released the crop progress and weather report. It said that corn acreage at or beyond the silking stage had reached 89% by the week's end. That was 2 points behind last year, 7 points slower than the 5-year average. Crop development was well behind in all states except for Colorado, where 27% of the crop began silking during the week, leaving progress 9 points ahead of the average. Meanwhile, 24% of the nation's crop was at or beyond the dough stage, 4 points behind last year, 22 points, or about a week behind normal. The biggest delays were, of course, evident right here in the state of Illinois and in Indiana, where progress was more than 2 weeks behind the five-year rolling average. Acreage in the dense stage at 5% was 1 point behind last year and 9 points behind normal. Denting had not yet begun in most of the Corn Belt, but was ahead of the five-year average in Texas. Overall, 68% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition nationwide. That's unchanged from a week ago, but about 1 point better than last year. On the soybean side of the ledger, nationally, 86% of this year's soybean crop at or beyond the blooming stage, says USDA, as of last Saturday, 1 point behind last year and 7 points behind the average. Blooming was active across much of the growing region. However, progress remained at or behind the five-year average in all estimating states. Pod set evident in 55% of the crop by August the 9th, 2 points behind last year, 17 points behind normal. The crop in Illinois, Michigan, and North Dakota experienced lags of 34 points or more, leaving progress over 1 week behind normal. Overall, 66% of the soybean crop was rated in good to excellent condition. That was down 1 point from last week and 3 points better than a year ago nationwide. Now here are the statisticians with updates from their states.
This is Brad Parks with USDA NAS Iowa Field Office with the Iowa Crops and Weather Report for the week ending August 9th, 2009. Temperatures above 90, something Iowa did not experience much during July of 2009, were welcomed by crop farmers to aid crop development. The heat was not the only thing welcomed, as rain showers covered most of the state. Corn was 97% tasseled, behind the five-year average of 99%. Corn silt increased, with 91% being reported, 12 percentage points ahead of last week, but 5 percentage points behind the five-year average. Corn at or beyond the milk stage reached 49%, 8 percentage points ahead of last year, but 21 percentage points behind the five-year average. Corn reported at or beyond the dough stage reached 11%. Ahead of last year by 2 percentage points, but 22 percentage points below the five-year average. Corn condition was rated 2% very poor, 4% poor, 16% fair, 50% good, and 28% excellent. Soybeans reached 95% blooming, with 78% setting pods. Soybeans blooming are 7 percentage points ahead of last year, but 1 percentage point behind the five-year average. Soybean setting pods are ahead of last year by 14 percentage points, but 4 percentage points behind the five-year average. Soybean condition was rated 1% very poor, 4% poor, 18% fair, 52% good, and 25% excellent. Again, this has been Brad Parks with USDA NAS Iowa Field Office with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending August 9th, 2009.
This is Mark Schleusener reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending August 9th. Warmer weather came to Illinois near the end of last week, but overall temperatures were near normal. The corn crop has practically finished silking, as 92% of acres were reported as silking or beyond. This compares to 96% 1 year ago and 99% for the five-year average. 29% of acres are in the dough stage or beyond, compared to 45% last year and 70% normally. The condition of the crop was reported as 2% very poor, 8% poor, 27% fair, 49% good, and 14% excellent. 81% of soybean acres were reported as blooming last week, compared to 83% last year and 94% normally. 42% of acres were setting pods, compared to 52% 1 year ago and 77% normally. Central and eastern areas tend to have more advanced maturities compared to the rest of the state. The average condition of the soybean crop was reported as 2% very poor, 6% poor, 32% fair, 47% good, and 13% excellent. For other crops, 29% of sorghum acres are heading compared to 80% normally, 74% of oats acres are harvested compared to 95% normally, and 38% of alfalfa hay third cutting has been completed compared to 54% normally. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office, with a crop weather report for the week ending August 9th. Temperatures warmed last week, but still averaged 1 degree below normal. Precipitation was widespread during the week, although amounts were limited in the southern counties as well as the northeast. Storms produced high winds accompanied with precipitation, but damaged acres in a number of counties. Wheat harvest is virtually complete in the west. Corn conditions rated near year-ago levels, with 77% of the crop in good or excellent condition. Over a third of the crop had entered the doe stage. Soybean conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Near three-fourths of the crop was setting pods. Oat harvest was nearing completion. Alfalfa third cutting was approaching the halfway mark. And pasture and range conditions continued mostly good or excellent, well above year-ago levels. This is Scott Kelly with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending August 9, 2009. 94% of Minnesota's corn acres were silking. That's moving up 14 percentage points during the past week. Silking is occurring at the same pace as last year's crop, however 3 points behind the five-year average. 23% of the corn crop had reached the milk stage, 9 points behind last year, and 36 points behind the average. 74% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition, unchanged from last week. 50% of the soybeans were setting pods, 8 points behind last year's pace, and 23 points behind the five-year average. Soybean condition was rated with 65% in good to excellent condition. 61% of the spring wheat crop was turning ripe, and 3% has been harvested. Spring wheat condition rating improved 3 points from last week to 71% rated as good to excellent. That's the weekly crop weather report for the week ending August 9, 2009. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending August 9th. Weather variability across the state left the northern area dry, while parts of central and southern Indiana suffered from excessive amounts of rain. Very heavy rainfall from thunderstorms early in the week caused localized flash flooding in many fields throughout southeastern Indiana. Much of the rainfall occurred in a very short time, overwhelming creeks, streams, and drainage systems, and caused ponding in many low-lying fields. Water in some of the flooded fields completely covered the soybean plants, but luckily most did not reach the corn's ears. The thunderstorms also brought some damaging winds and left mud and debris in many low fields. Quite a different story in the northern part of the state, where continued dry conditions is causing stress, especially as the temperatures have risen, pushing the crop's development. 89% of the planted corn acreage has silked, compared with 92% for last year and 97% for the five-year average. 22% of the corn is in the doe stage, compared with 22% for last year and 51% for the five-year average. Corn condition for the week was rated at 64% good to excellent, compared with 71% for last year at this time. 77% of the plant and soybean acreage is blooming, compared with 84% last year at this time and 92% for the five-year average. 37% of the soybean acreage is setting pods, compared with 41% for last year at this time and 64% for the five-year average. Soybean condition is rated at 63% good to excellent, compared with 66% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Illinois Public Media and the Closing Market Report. Our thanks to the state statisticians for those updates from Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota. Those are the five top corn-producing states in the nation. And don't forget, tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m., we will find out from USDA Central Time what their predictions are for statewide yields and the national crop production. That's all on the first crop production report from USDA for this growing season. Comes out at 7:30 a.m. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter at willag.org, and we'll send you those numbers at willag.org. On the line with us this afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural energies is Mike McElroy. He's with Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois, filling in today for Steve Platt, who's away. Good afternoon to you, Mike. Thanks for being with us today.
It's great to be with you, Todd.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the agricultural energies. I know things may change some tomorrow morning when the new corn numbers come out for the ethanol industry, because they'll be taking a look at those to see what kind of prices they might have. But let's talk about how the health of that industry has been through the spring and summer period. What have you seen?
Well, we're still seeing the ethanol at a pretty good discount to the gasoline market. And, you know, I think unless we can really get these energy markets pushed up to some levels that sort of renew the interest in these renewable-type energies, we're probably going to continue to see that discount carry forward.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the ethanol pricing, I mean, not only based on where the corn is trading, but it's the demand from these programs where we're, you know, using ethanol and they're starting to consider maybe pulling back on some of these programs with the ethanol usage. But if we can get the crude in, and I don't know that this is what I think is going to happen, but if we can get the crude to push up to some of these new highs, maybe above 75 to the 80 level, you start to renew your interest in the whole spectrum of renewable energies and the ethanols and the biodiesels, and hopefully can kind of reignite that market.
Yeah, so that would be the market outside of what's already mandated, but you need a crude oil price that would be high enough to generate interest in using ethanol as an economic crutch more than just simply as a mandate. Is that right? And then if you take a look at crude oil and the charts, what do you see? Is it possible to run back to $75 or $80, and how easily might that be done? How hard would that be on the economy is the second question in that process.
Well, I think just looking historically at the way the crude has behaved, I would not think it'd be difficult to run it there. But I think when we look at the fundamentals, you know, there is a lot of crude out there. And until we can actually see some true demand situations that change these inventory numbers, where we really start to use this gas and crude, I can't see this market going there without the fundamentals, is what I'm saying. It has gone there so far more based on the equities and the dollar. Those markets have traded kind of hand in hand for months now, kind of despite the fundamentals. So I guess what I'm saying, it can happen, but I think at some point these fundamentals are going to overwhelm the market.
And fundamentally, that you mean the fundamentals that would push...
That would push the crude lower in the gas. I mean, we continue to get numbers that show that the gasoline demand is poor. We have very large amounts of inventory of crude out there. So, you know, we can only overlook that so long as the equity market was rallying. There comes a point when you have to realize that there's just plenty of crude out there right now.
And that, of course, would not play well for ethanol, other than the mandate has to be met. But I would imagine that there would be much pressure in Congress at that point to maybe lift that mandate or to hold off on the mandate for some point.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mike, and we appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, and go Cardinals.
Go Cardinals. And Mike McElroy, he knows that while he and I are talking and you're listening to this on the radio, I'm actually on the road to the Cardinal game. Thanks much for that, Mike. Anyway, I'll be back on CD in 2 minutes when we'll talk with Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You are listening to Illinois Public Media and the Closing Market Report.
With AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Ousted Governor Raul Blagojevich's longtime top aide won't be pleading guilty to corruption charges just yet. Alonzo Monk is Blagojevich's former chief of staff. Monk had been scheduled to change his not guilty plea to guilty today. But yesterday, the hearing was postponed until August 27th. Monk is charged with a count of wire fraud for scheming to pressure a racetrack executive for a $100,000 campaign contribution in exchange for the prompt signing by Blagojevich's legislation. When and if the hearing is held, any written plea agreement between Monk and federal prosecutors could shed important new light on the case. Cities and towns in downstate Illinois will have a 1.5-mile buffer around them where they can make clear annexation agreements. The bill signed into law this week may help ease disputes among local governments over the ability to plan their growth in certain areas. Outside that mile-and-a-half limit, counties would have more say over future annexations. The deputy city attorney in Champaign says cities and counties work together on the legislation because of confusion over earlier precedents that let cities enter annexation agreements with landowners well outside of their limits. The provost at Purdue University is sending letters to faculty members asking them to tell students they won't be penalized for missing class if they're ill. The university is taking precautions to prevent an outbreak of swine flu once classes start at Purdue August 24th. Grants for the Rural Energy for America program will help farmers and food processors in Illinois become more energy efficient. For example, Watershed Foods in the McLean County community of Gridley is getting $189,000 that will help update its free drying process to make it more energy efficient. Drowsy spectators in one Will County courtroom might want to stifle their yawns. One man is facing 6 months in jail for yawning in Judge Daniel Rozak's court last month. Clifton Williams will serve at least 21 days for stretching and yawning as his cousin was being sentenced for a drug charge. A prosecutor in the court at the time could describe the offending yawn as loud and boisterous, but Williams' cousin says it was not outrageous. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Time to talk with Don Day of Day Weather about the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
It was hot when I was out west last week, but it looks like we're going to cool off here pretty nicely over the next couple of days. Tell me about it.
Yeah, we will, and we'll have a little bit of rain and thunderstorm activity come in as well, but we're not looking at temperatures cooling down as much as they have at other times this summer. Temperatures are going to cool down to near normal values, and the 10-day outlook for temperatures across the Corn Belt, Midwest, and most areas east of the Rockies is for near normal temperatures, maybe just a little bit above, and I think that is a trend that will probably carry forward into the following week as well, so we'll be able to get some more heat units accumulated and not be completely dry, have some opportunities for rain in the mix as well.
Oh, that sounds just like a magnificent August growing season. How different is it than usual?
Well, this has been a little bit different summer, without a doubt, really across the whole country. This has been a summer without any significant or major heat waves. So, and comparing to, let's say, the last 7 or 8 summers, certainly this one stands out as being a different one.
A different one in a good way, I suppose?
I certainly think so, as long as we can continue that as we get into early September with some warm temperatures. I still see signs up in those high northern latitudes of things changing that will, the last week of August, first week of September, may mean some cooler weather for the lower 48. Of course, that's looking far out, Todd, but we do see signs of things changing at the end of this month.
Well, tell me a bit more about that. What kind of signs are you watching there?
Well, the jet stream and how it's behaving across the North Pacific, and also one thing that's been interesting to watch throughout the course of the summer is a vortex of cold air that's been south of the Arctic Circle and in around the Hudson Bay area, and it's been wobbling back and forth and has been a stronger vortex of cold air this summer season than we've seen in many, many years past. So if that starts to grow and expand a little bit as the days get shorter in those northern latitudes, that can make for an interesting September. So that's something that, just for now, we're keeping an eye on.
And then if you take a look to other places around the globe, what do you see?
Well, there's been a lot of news in the southern Asia with the tropical activity there with the typhoon and other stormy weather. Across China, their precipitation in the southern areas and the tropical warmer regions is going to continue to be wet while drier in the northern and western areas.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
I think that'll do her.
Thanks so much. That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Join us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Tuesday afternoon. Hey, don't forget, if you get the opportunity to visit with us Thursday morning of this week at Agronomy Day, it kicks off at 7 a.m. right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We'll be out at the research farms, which are just south and east of the Assembly Hall on St. Mary's Road. All morning long, your opportunity to talk to researchers, scientists, and extension professionals that work for you. Agronomy Day starts at 7 a.m. I'll be pushing the wagons out into the field, not literally, but figuratively, at that time and all morning long. I hope to see you there. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.